heaven, you know I love.
Yeah. Welcome back. How you doing, everybody? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WG and 2 for Tuesday. Yeah, man, 2 for Tuesday. Yeah. Carol requested the Ides of March. That's vehicle, and it's also Carol's birthday. Happy birthday, Carol. Have a lovely birthday today. Hi, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And how you doing? Tuesday morning, 2 for Tuesday. So yesterday during the show, yesterday morning, Esmeralda was talking about, what is it? Midnight Diner, correct?
Yes.
And it's on the Netflix.
It is.
And it's a, you saying it's a weird sort of anthology series that's good. You liked it. You like it a lot.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it.
About a guy who cooks things.
Yeah, so he owns a diner, and all the stories revolve. They start at the diner, and then they kind of, it's a story of that person's life. Like a little just nugget of their life.
Yeah.
Something happening. But each episode is named after the food that they order. And sometimes that food even has like a significance within the story that they're telling,
mm-hmm.
or that happens around them.
That's pretty cool. And I had never really heard of it. And then I was looking it up on the lines, and I saw that it actually dates back to 2009.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I mean, it probably hadn't come to America, but you know, in that time. But Netflix has many shows that are kind of under the radar that not a lot of people watch. You know, they got their movies and they've got the big stuff, but there are shows that are under the radar. One of them that you and I champion, Esmeralda. Is BoJack Horseman, which is it has a cult following, but more people should watch that show because it's really great
for sure.
And that's got me thinking. I was like, you know, we should talk about TV shows that we love, that we championed, that nobody really watched, or that weren't nearly as popular as they should have been. So that's what we want to talk about here. 312-981-7200. What TV shows do you think more people should have seen? Underrated, underappreciated TV. 312-981-7200. The thing about BoJack, as you know, Esmeralda, is that it's a real deceiving show. Because you look at it on the simplest of levels and you're like, oh, it's a wacky show where animals talk and the main character is a horse.
Right. And I also, it took me, I think I watched half of the first episode and I wasn't into it, and I just kind of left it, and then I went back to it, and then I watched the second episode, and then I just got really kind of obsessed with this character.
Yeah. Well, it goes to places that you would never expect it to go.
Yeah.
And
especially since it's a horse man.
Right. Right. Will Arnett, by the way, is the voice of BoJack, and there are a lot of, you know, popular celebrity voices who do work on the show. But what separates this show, what really is remarkable about it, one, the sheer sort of originality and audacity of it. And two, the fact that it gets so sad and, like, really emotional. I mean, this is an animated show about a talking horse. And it goes to places that not a lot of shows go to. And it reaches this level of sort of sadness that I never expected from it.
Yeah, for sure. And at least for me, I felt like I forgot that he was an animal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I forget that everyone's an animal and they're just people.
Yeah. And that's how good the writing is on it. And it really is. It's a tremendous show. That's so much better than I thought it was. Because like you, I was like, oh, Will Arnett, wacky, you know, animated wackiness. I'll watch this. And then after a while, I'm like, man, this is just so much more than than what I had expected. It's a great show. A great show. So if you're not watching BoJack Horseman and you have Netflix, you should watch it. Is it three seasons now, Esmeralda?
Or is it? I believe so.
It's three seasons.
Yeah.
There was an episode from the last season where he's in an underwater world. And there's, like, no dialogue in it at all. It's, like, all done sort of silently, just with sounds and different language that you don't understand. And it all takes place in this sort of this aqua world where he goes to a convention. And the entire episode is this, you know, silent movie kind of a thing with incredible sight gags. That have you ever gone back and watched that one again, Esmeralda?
I haven't.
Because you watch, you should movies. Because there are so many jokes in each frame that you'll miss if you only watch it the one time. Like so many funny allusions and jokes. They fill every single frame of that episode with gags and jokes and really surreal, weird stuff. So go back and watch that one again. I watched it three times, and I keep seeing more stuff in the background and more stuff in each, you know, part that it just it becomes richer and richer. But also, the punchline of that show, the punchline of that episode, the final moment of that episode is one of the funniest things I've ever. I mean, I scream laughed at the end, and it's like one of those things where it's like at the very end. It also you laugh really, really hard, and then you go, "Oh man!" Like at the very end, it also is like slapping your head in the you know in your forehead, going, "Oh man!" And that's the kind of thing that that show does well, and that's one of the best episodes of that show. I think it's called Fish Out of Water. I think that's what the I think that's the name of the episode. But it all takes place in this little underwater world. So, great stuff. So that's an example of something that's on now that I wish more people would watch. Dan, do you have any shows that you think, you know, have been underappreciated and underrated and more people should watch?
Yeah, there was a show that only lasted about 8-10 episodes on NBC called A to Z. Mm. And it starred Ben Feldman, who most people know from Mad Men, and Christian Mulata, who was the mom on How I Met Your Mother. And It had a vibe of 500 Days of Summer where, like, from the very get-go, they say, you know, this is about a relationship that lasted 8 months, 23 days, 7 hours, and 15 minutes. Mm. And each episode had a corresponding letter. So, and the main characters were named Andrew. He was Andrew. She was Zelda. And so it was just, you know, we lament the fact that romantic comedies are all schlock and crap. And,
yeah.
You know, the good ones are very charming and find this good middle ground of being endearing and kind of playing to those tropes without falling into them. And I loved every episode I saw of it. And, you know, it didn't last. Rashida Jones was one of the producers on it.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And so just really well-written half-hour comedy that was just always good whenever I caught it, but you know, like I said, it got canceled after like 10 episodes.
I never saw it.
Yeah, I've never found anybody else who has.
Esmeralda, have you ever seen it? A to Z?
I'd heard about it, but yeah. I didn't watch it.
Yeah, so, you know, and I don't think it's readily available. I don't think it's on any of the streaming services, but yeah, it was just a show we really enjoyed.
Okay. Well, I have a list of 40 of the most underrated, underappreciated TV shows of all time. And I got to say, you looked at this list, Dan, this is a strong list.
Yeah, he did a nice job.
There's a lot of stuff on this list that a lot of people should have watched but didn't. Esmeralda, do you have a TV show that...
Happy Endings.
Yeah, well, that was on for a little while, though,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, but it got canceled. It was amazing.
That show was great.
So clearly, not enough people were watching it if yeah. they nixed it.
Yeah, that's a great show for people who have not seen it. And that's another one of those... You know, I always feel good when someone gets canned from SNL and then goes on and does, you know, great stuff. Like, for instance, Jenny Slate, Noelle Wells, and in this case, Casey Wilson, mm-hmm. who was great on Happy Endings. And she totally underused on SNL. They didn't know how to use her. Didn't know how to use Noelle Wells. Then she got Master of None, and she's been on other great stuff. She just directed a movie. And of course, Jenny Slate, who has gone on to great work. She's in the movie Landline, which is out right now. And all three of those ladies were you know, canned from SNL, not for their lack of talent, but for the writer's lack of using them correctly. So, but yeah, Happy Endings all the way around. That was a great show. That was a really great show. So, let's see. Here's Mark on WGN. Hey, Mark.
Greetings from Cleveland. Hey, Nick. It's been a while. We haven't talked in a whole month.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, do you remember a show from 1998 called Vengeance Unlimited?
With Michael Madsen, right?
Yes, and Kathleen York, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a show about them. Madsen plays the mysterious Mr. Chappell who helps other people who can't get the vengeance on the people who hurt them and they're getting away with it through the law.
Right.
And it was a pretty cool show. It should have gone longer, but ABC decided to schedule it against Friends and... Well, you can guess how that turned out.
Right. Yeah. No, I know a lot. You know who I thought really liked that show? Dan, you weren't working with them at that time, but I think Steve and Johnny really liked Vengeance Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were a big fan of that show. I'm pretty sure they were. So
Well, yeah. Cool. I wish I had gone on longer myself. I had a lot of potential.
Yeah. Okay, Mark. Thanks.
Talk to you later.
I saw that. I saw one episode of that show, and I liked it. I just never. I don't know.
Sounds like an interesting plot.
Yeah. Yeah. It's well. It's also the plot of Dirty Work with Norm Macdonald.
Two and, sides of the same
and,
coin.
And Artie Lang. Hey, by the way, Esmeralda, do you ever watch the Norm Macdonald show on YouTube?
I don't.
He's got a talk show on YouTube, and it's great. It's really, really great. The last episode that I watched, and I know you don't care because you're not a Letterman fan, but anybody who is a David Letterman fan, you should go on YouTube and watch the Norm Macdonald interview with Letterman. It's the most recent interview he's ever done. He's got the crazy beard, and he's totally Letterman it. And I don't know if I've ever seen Letterman more comfortable being interviewed than this interview that he did with Norm.
Did Norm do his impression of him?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got to see it. It's a solid hour long. And I don't know if I've ever seen Letterman. Because Letterman was like, out of his element, he was always grumpy even in his element. Even when he was hosting his own show, he was like, yeah, I don't give a damn. Because that was Letterman. Because Letterman was one of the greatest of all time. And one of my true comedy heroes, one of the biggest influences on any kind of comedy I've ever done is Dave. He's like way near the top of the list of massive influences on my comic sensibility. And just watching him relaxed, and Norm does a great job too. His show is terrific. He's had a bunch of people. Seinfeld was on not too long ago, and they did a lot of inside jokes that only they understood, which was fantastic to watch. Like you're watching it, and you're just watching these two guys, and you have no idea what they're talking about and why they're laughing, but it's still awesome because it's two guys who are kind of letting you into this world. It's great. So if you're a fan of Letterman, you should watch this Norm Macdonald. And also Dirty Work with Artie Lang, which has the same plot as the Michael Madsen. And Don Rickles is in Dirty Work for like 2 minutes. And all he does is insult Norm Macdonald and Artie Lang. Look at you, you baby gorilla. That's the first thing he says to you. Look like a bucket of lard on a bad day. And there's all the stuff that Rickles did. I played this when Rickles passed away. Remember, Dan, we played the audio from Letterman's show when Artie Lang was on, talking about working with Rickles.
Right.
And he was all improvised, so they just kept breaking and laughing and ruining takes because he and Norm would laugh. Because Don Rickles comes up and gets into his face and goes, look at you, you baby gorilla. That's it. I wouldn't be able to hold without laughing. Rickles, like, insulting you? That's amazing. But the best is that Artie Lang talks about, like, he worked with him for 18 hours that day, and Rickles, constantly doing the insults. Really, really funny. It was amazing. And so at the end of the day, he walks up to Rickles, and he goes, listen, Mr. Rickles, I just wanted to say that it was a real pleasure working with you. And Rickles goes, yeah, let me tell you something. I've been watching you all day, and listen, good luck working construction. The best. Yeah. Dirty Work should have made that. Dave should have made a TV series out of that with Michael Madsen. Oh, I mean, it would have been too similar. So, all right, we're talking about criminally underrated or underwatched and underappreciated TV shows. I got a bunch, and this list that I have in front of me is going to bring back a lot of memories of shows that were really good that more people should have seen.
But hold me to your heart. Let's not worry. Let them hurry. Come dancing.
Oh. I didn't know that was going to end. All right. It's two for Tuesday. Yeah. Carol chose Jim Peterik and Lisa McClowry. Come Dancing. That was performed live on Steve and Johnny's show. All right.
Was someone whispering in the back?
It sounded like it, I think.
She didn't know the lyrics. So,
Jim was telling her?
Yeah, Jim. That was a Jim song, and she just happened to be in the studio that day. So.
Oh. Oh, all right. Now, were you there for that?
I was.
Oh, okay.
You got a behind the music.
Yeah, man. More cowbell. All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're talking about underrated TV shows. And underappreciated TV shows. We would love to hear from you. What shows did you love? You tried to get people to watch. They didn't watch it. They were canceled too soon. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. I'm looking at this list of the 40 most underrated TV shows. Let me fly down some of these. TV 101. I don't know this show. Dan, do you know this show?
I have not heard of it.
88 to 89 on CBS. A high school journalism teacher vents his students' adolescent angst by letting them run their own news show instead of a school newspaper. It had a John Hughes-esque authenticity, which was missing from many teenage shows at the time. It was canceled due to low ratings. And there was a controversial episode where a student gets an abortion. I've never even heard of it. Next on the list is Carnival on HBO. That was a terrific show. And I remember when it got canceled, people were mad. People were really mad. You ever watch that show, Esmeralda, Carnival?
No, but I had seen visuals of it, and it looked really cool.
It's a very cool show, and Adrienne Barbeau was in it. And Adrienne Barbeau has been to Flashback Weekend a couple of times, and she was the first time she made an appearance at Flashback. I of course, got to do her Q&A because she rules, and she was married to John Carpenter, so of course I'm going to do her Q&A. So Adrienne Barbeau is there, and I can't tell you the number because, you know, when we do the panels at Flashback, which I'll be doing this weekend, they're usually a half an hour long. So I sometimes they're a little bit longer depending on the number of guests and how many and who they are. But normally we'll do like a half an hour, 40 minutes, and 15 minutes will be me interviewing them with my questions, you know, and then the last 10 or 15 minutes we open up the questions to, you know, to the people in the audience, and then, you know, we have mics set up and they come up and they ask their questions. And sometimes that's a nightmare because, you know, people come up like, well, you know, I was interviewing John Carpenter and we opened up the questions and one guy goes, man, why did you divorce Adrienne Barbeau? Like, dude, what are you doing? So anyway, I can't tell you the number of questions when we opened up the Q&A to the crowd were about Carnival. Like, seriously, and Adrienne Barbeau has done a ton of stuff. I mean, she's been in the business for a long time, dating back to Maud, for God's sake. She played Maud's daughter and has done all these great movies with Carpenter and has this great career. She's a singer. She wrote a book. And I'm telling you, if I remember correctly, the very first Q&A we did, the majority of questions were about Carnival. They had a really hardcore base of fans. Robbery Homicide Division from Michael Mann, a gritty, intense drama. Tom Sizemore was in that. Boy, Tom Sizemore. Tom Sizemore and Michael Madsen, who often get confused for one another. Tom Sizemore, by the way, spectacular on Twin Peaks. And let me just explain something to the Twin Peaks fans out there. God bless Sherilyn Fenn finally showed up. Only episode 12, Audrey finally shows up. You got to think, halfway through episode 12, finally, I go, oh, there's Sherilyn Fenn. There's Audrey. That show is so insane and so awesome. Now, here's one that I don't think is underrated. Maybe it was when it was on the BBC at first, but certainly in reruns, it's not. The Young Ones. That's not an underrated show. That show's legendary. That show's classic. Am I right? I mean, The Young Ones is a legendary show.
I hadn't heard about it before I read the list.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, I would say in certain circles it is.
Oh. All
but right. Not, you know, overall.
To me, that's like MASH. You know, like somebody mentions Young Ones, I'm like, yeah, that's on the same level as MASH as far as I'm concerned.
I think at least here in the U.S., it didn't get too much. I mean, when was it on? Was it on Comedy Central?
It was on MTV.
Oh, okay.
It was on MTV for like 6 years. They kept rerunning them over and over again. I watched it every time they showed it. I love that show.
See, and I don't know where I watched it. I think a friend just kind of showed me DVDs or something. Because I watched MTV all the time, so I don't even know when it was on.
MTV was on in the 80s, so you were probably
too young. I didn't have cable.
Yeah, you were too young. You didn't have cable. But that was definitely on like... I want to say mid to late 80s, maybe early 90. That was would be the time frame. I want to say from like maybe 86 to like 90 it was on. Yeah. And then they showed it on Comedy Central and Channel 11 showed it.
I think that's where I picked it up. But again, that's kind of, you know, well, you're not watching Channel 11.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's just such a legendary show, in my opinion. You know what I mean? It's like, to me, it's like second nature. Like, of course, The Young Ones is considered one of the greatest shows of all time. The Flash from 1990 to 91. Dan, did you watch that version of The Flash, 1990 version?
I did. It was pretty solid.
I liked it.
Yeah, it's charming.
Now it's all over the place, The Flash. What was the guy's name? He had three names, the actor.
Well, coincidentally, he plays the dad on The New Flash.
Oh, does he? Yeah. Sean Patrick?
It's John Wesley Shipp.
John Wesley Shipp. That's it. Yeah. Yeah. John Wesley Shipp. All right. And then Mighty Mouse, The New Adventures and Galaxy High. I watched Mighty Mouse, The New Adventures. It was on 87 and 88 on CBS. And the reason I watched it was because it was insane. Ralph Bakshi was in charge of it. And John Chris Felucci, who would go on to create Ren and Stimpy, was one of the head animators on Mighty Mouse. And so, therefore, it was insane. And Mighty Mouse was like, you know, was kind of doing cocaine on it. You just picture the guy who created Ren and Stimpy in charge of a classic cartoon character. Then just think about how twisted it would end up. So, all right, we got a break. The news is coming up in 10 seconds. Yeah, man. You know, Dan, we could just let this play because it'll go right into the opening bell if we let the whole song play. Whip and Post, baby. Two separate requests for the Allman Brothers, and that's Whip and Post. We did lose Greg Allman. What are they, 2 weeks ago? Last week, 2 weeks ago? He passed away?
Maybe a little longer, but yeah, in that range.
A little while ago. Whip and Post. Yeah. You know who used to do a killer cover of Whip and Post? Zappa. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I saw Frank Zappa. By the way, hi, it's Nick DiGiulio. How you doing, everybody? We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Steve Grzanich at 5 with the opening bell. Steve Cochran at 6. 2 for Tuesday. Yeah! 312-981-7200 is the phone number. I saw Frank Zappa one time, and it was a friend of mine who was obsessed with Zappa. I was never obsessed with Zappa. I liked Zappa, you know, and I had a couple of albums, but I was never, like, sort of obsessed. But I had a friend who was completely obsessed, and then he's like, hey, I got an extra ticket for Zappa. You want to come? And I'm like, sure. So I went to see him. It was at the auditorium downtown, and Sting showed up. Because Sting was in town, and I had seen him the night before. I saw Sting the night before. He was on tour for my favorite Sting album of all time, Nothing Like the Sun, which is my desert, one of my Desert Island discs, Esmeralda, Nothing Like the Sun by Sting. Desert Island disc. Anyway, he was on tour, and I saw him, and then the next night I go see Zappa at the auditorium, and Sting comes out. And, of course, Zappa introduces him as Mr. Sting. Zappa's like, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Sting. So then Sting comes out, and they do Murder by Numbers together, which is a great Police song, a B-side by the Police. So they do Murder by Numbers. And Zappa, have you, Esmeralda, did you ever, no, you were too young to see Zappa, because Zappa died like in the late 80s, I think, or early 90s. Early 90s he died. But Zappa did a lot of like conducting. He would play guitar and stuff like that, but he would also conduct. He had like string section and horn section. You know, and all kinds of cool stuff that he would conduct. And so they did Murder by Numbers, which was great. And they did Whipping Post. They did a cover of Whipping Post, the Allman Brothers. But the best moment was with the horn section, big-ass horn section on stage, they covered Stairway to Heaven. So they do Stairway to Heaven, and the horn section did Page's guitar solo note for note. It was unbelievable. The horn's like, bah, 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 the whole solo. And I was just like, this is unbelievable. So, anyway. All right. Allman Brothers. We'll hear more, one more at least. We got a bunch of texts coming in. We're talking about TV shows that were underrated or underappreciated. Next one on this list is Homicide, Life on the Street.
I loved that show.
It was a great show. A great show. How good was Andre Brower on that show? Oh, my God. Anytime they were in the interrogation box, forget it. It was the best.
I, for some reason, had a mad crush on, like, the weirdest-looking dude on that show.
Which one?
I think he always wore a hat.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, why am I blanking on his name? But I know exactly,
like,
who you're talking about.
Spittily little guy?
Yeah. I know exactly who you're talking about.
I had the biggest crush on him.
Now, you know the creator of that show would go on to create another show.
Is Did he do Law and Order?
He did The Wire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, David Simon.
What did they do after Homicide, though?
What did he do?
Or wasn't there... Well, isn't Law and Order kind of like an offshoot?
Oh, well, they did Crossover. Yeah,
okay,
they did a Crossover.
Richard Belzer
right.
is that
yeah.
same guy.
Yeah, he's the same. He plays the same dude he played on Homicide. But there were crossovers. But that's only simply because of the network. David Simon is responsible for Homicide. Dick Wolf is responsible for the Law and Order series. But they were both on NBC. And Homicide was doing really poorly in the ratings. And that's one of the reasons why they did that. So...
Interesting. Yeah. I have a message in from Mr. John Hansen.
Oh, okay.
He wanted to give a
yeah, sure.
Arrested Development.
Yeah, I agree. I totally. It's coming back again though. Now you know for season five.
Yeah.
On Netflix.
Is it? Has it gone down at all? Because I thought I'd heard that people didn't really enjoy the Netflix. I didn't watch it.
Oh, you didn't?
I'm one of those people. I didn't really watch Arrested Development.
I'll tell you this: the fourth season on Netflix, very disappointing. Very disappointing. The first three seasons on Fox, genius, one of the best shows ever. But that fourth season, not so good. And Jason Bateman was just interviewed because they're starting to shoot now. They're starting to shoot the season now. And Jason Bateman, I follow him on the Twitter and the Facebook stuff, and he took pictures of the set being built, like they're bringing the Bluth house back,
mm-hmm.
And talking about how excited he is and how he thinks it's going to be better than the last season. So, but Arrested Development is an amazing show. You know, those first three seasons on Fox were just incredible. We got some texts. 815 Millennium. Yes, Millennium. Great show. The one and only Lance Hendrickson, who you can meet this weekend. I interviewed Lance Hendrickson many times on this show, and we took some calls one morning when he was on. And people love Millennium. And there's a hardcore fan base that wants that show to come back. We had Lance on the show a couple of weeks ago to talk about Flashback because he's going to be there. And we got on the subject of Millennium, and he said that that's pretty much a dead issue of it coming back. 815 area code also says Freaks and Geeks. Agreed. Could you imagine if they tried to get those people back to do how much the cast would have to be paid?
It'd be an expensive show.
Yes, it would. That's like, you know, the budget difference between Anchorman and Anchorman 2, Esmeralda. Oh, my God. Because Anchorman was not a hit in the theaters. Anchorman didn't become, you know, the cult legend.
Really?
Oh, no. It made no money at the box office. It didn't take off. It did okay. It wasn't a total bomb. But it didn't take off till DVD. And then, I mean, obviously everybody knows every line to that movie. And in between Anchorman... And Anchorman 2, everybody in that movie became a star. Like, everybody.
Did you ever watch, and this is a cartoon, it was on MTV. It was, oh man, I can't remember the name of it. Clone High?
Oh yeah, sure.
Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
I thought that was a very underrated show.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a funny show. That was a good show. 262 area code throws in Greg the Bunny. That's a good show. Greg the Bunny is a good show.
They haven't done one of those in a while, have they?
What do you mean?
That kind of in front of a live studio audience, but like very childish jokes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know, I don't know if they would be. See, Seth Green, who's a guy I really like. I like Seth Green a lot. I think he's great. You know what movie I love Seth Green in? Can't Hardly Wait.
Oh no, he's great in that.
I love him in that. Him and the girl from 6 Feet Under, Lauren.
Yes.
Their scenes in the bathroom together. It's my favorite thing in the entire movie. I love that movie. I make no apology.
Wonderful soundtrack.
Oh, it's a great soundtrack, and I think that's a. In that movie, I was way too old to love it as much as I did. Way too old. I was like a creepy old dude sitting at the Lincoln Village Theater enjoying it more than the 17-year-olds it was meant for.
Well, you know, you are at heart.
Yeah, I'm a 15-year-old girl at heart, so. Yeah. And I just adored that movie. I really did. I liked it so much, I even liked Jenna Elfman in it. And I can't stand Jenna Elfman. That was a good movie, man. That's a really good movie. And, man, if you go back, you want to talk about a movie that has a bunch of people in it who went on to become stars. Esmeralda, have you gone back and looked at who's in that damn movie?
No, I mean, not like Jennifer Love Hewitt.
No, even more than that.
One
you
guy.
Go back and look. It's Ethan Ephraim?
Emery.
Ethan Ephraim. Or Ethan Emery.
Ethan Emery.
Right. He was in a great movie called Devil's Candy this year. But he was like the sort of the romantic lead who was in love with Jennifer Love Hewitt. But if you go back to the IMDb page for that and scroll down, Esmeralda, and look at the names, you know, who have little bit parts in it, it's ridiculous the amount of people who went on to become stars. So, okay. And then this is one before we break here. And I believe, Dan, you agree with this. 616 area code. I always loved the TV show Ed.
Yeah.
Produced by Letterman and Rob Burnett. Never came out on TV, and I feel it was underappreciated. That was a great show.
Fantastic show.
Yep.
Yeah. Speaking, again, great cast. You know, you got Ed Kavanaugh. Or
right.
Tom Kavanaugh.
Tom Kavanaugh.
Julie Bowen.
Right.
Justin Long.
Michael Ian Black.
Michael Ian Black.
God, who else? Lots of people in
was
that.
Steven Rudin in there?
Yeah. Great show. Esmeralda, did you ever watch Ed?
I watched it on and off. I didn't really get into it.
Yeah, I was kind of obsessed with that show when it was on. I just thought it was great. And I wonder why it happened. We had Tuckman on Friday. Why didn't we ask him about Ed? That should be out on DVD. There's no reason why that should not be out. So, all right, we got a break here. We got weather, we got traffic, and then we're talking about more underrated, underappreciated TV shows. 312-981-7200.
Sweet Melissa.
Yeah. Great song. Great, great, great song. Two for Tuesday. Yeah! Two people requested the Allman Brothers, and that is Melissa. 312-981-7200, two for Tuesday. And if you want to jump in here to talk about underappreciated, underrated, and TV shows that you love that more people should have seen. And we've got a few more here. On this list next is News Radio. Which is such a great show. And you know, NBC never had confidence in that show because it had Friends and it had Seinfeld at that time. So, like, News Radio was kind of the bastard stepchild. Do you know what I mean? Of like, the comedy lineup on NBC.
Yeah.
But it was just as good. And great, great cast. And then, after Phil Hartman, what could they do? You know, I mean, they tried to continue and they got John Lovitz to come in and it just wasn't the same, even though, you know, the core of the cast was there. But it just seemed to, you know, like, really lose a lot when Phil Hartman passed away. But that show was hilarious, man.
I'm on board with anything that Kids in the Hall
yes
alum are ever in.
Are you kidding me? Hey, you need to try and watch. Oh, you don't have the cables. This is At Midnight's last week. The final episode is Friday night. They normally don't do Friday shows, only Thursdays. Monday through Thursday, but they're doing a Friday show, special hour-long 600th and final episode of At Midnight. And so for this week, they're bringing back all-stars. They're bringing back, you know, like the regulars that everybody loves on At Midnight. I don't think it's tonight. It might be tomorrow, Esmeralda. And they usually put it up on the Comedy Central website the day after or later that night.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it's tonight's Tuesday, tomorrow Wednesday. I want to say it's Wednesday night. It might be tonight, but I want to say it might be Wednesday night. Dave Foley, Scott Thompson, Kevin McDonald.
Ah, oh, come on.
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. I mean, please. Do you have a favorite kid in the hall?
It's Dave Foley.
Is it Dave?
I think more I have a crush on Dave Foley.
Yeah.
And then Scott Thompson has to be.
Well, Scott Thompson rules.
There's like just the one I'd be like, yeah.
Kevin McDonald is my favorite. I love Kevin McDonald. And I just think he's so great. Everybody is great on that show. Bruce McCullough. I mean, everybody. It's just that show was amazing. That show was absolutely amazing. And I remember being really pissed off a bunch of years ago, Esmeralda, like the early 90s. Lorne Michaels was interviewed in the Playboy. He was the Playboy interview. And in the Playboy interview, that's many, many pages. Those are long interviews. And he never once mentioned Kids in the Hall during the interview. And I remember being so angry. I was like, how can you not mention Kids in the Hall, man? Come on. So, speaking of Kids in the Hall, they're on this list.
Yeah, I would agree.
But not for that show.
Oh.
They're on the list for Death Comes to Town.
Oh, I honestly can't. I love everything they do.
I know, so. Me too. About Brain Candy.
It's so awful, but hilarious.
No, it's great. Brain Candy's great. You need to watch that again. Have you only seen it once?
I think I've seen it a couple times.
I've seen it like 900 times. It played the Bruin View. We used to go. We played Midnight Show at the Bruin View. We'd go all the time. I can't tell you the number of times I saw Brain Candy. Me and all the Factory Theater folks. We knew every line of dialogue. I mean, oh my God! You have to go back and watch it again. You have to. When I invented stummies, it's so great. And of course, Mike Myers ripped off Bruce McCullough's performance from that movie to do Dr. Evil. He took Bruce McCullough's performance, Bruce McCullough essentially doing Lorne Michaels. Like he was in Brain Candy, he's doing his impression of Lorne Michaels. And Mike Myers stole that performance from Brain Candy and created Dr. Evil. No, you got to see Brain Candy. I got it at home. I'll bring it in. I'm telling you. I said, that's a monthly viewing in my apartment. I mean, I adore that movie.
I'm just going to do a whole marathon.
You need
it's
to
gonna be Brain Candy.
Oh, God.
Used cars.
Brain Candy is so funny. And it tanked. Oh, my God, did that movie tank when it came out. Nobody saw it except me and my friends at the Bruin View, like, every week.
Now, Death Comes to Town, it only went.
It was a miniseries.
But it never finished, did it?
It did, but not, you know, I mean, it was left kind of open because they thought they were going to do another one, and they didn't because nobody liked it. Everybody hated it. I thought it was great.
So did I.
Yeah. Again, like you, Esmeralda, have we ever talked about our mutual love for Kids in the Hall before?
I guess not.
I don't think we have.
This is very much a thing of, in high school, I was the weirdo with my friend.
Oh, yeah.
We would quote Kids in the Hall.
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. No, that show was genius, man. It was genius.
My favorite skit in the whole thing, and I still do this whenever is the very, like, they're in Germany,
mm-hmm.
or post-apocalyptic whatever in the sausage factory.
Oh, yeah.
And Scott Thompson's old man. And anytime there's sausage, I'm like, sausages!
Yeah, yeah. You know what my favorite is? I mean, there are so many, but my favorite is the, and I want to say McDonald. I want to say Kevin McDonald. And they're vaudevillian performers. And they're doing the Who's on First routine. And Dave Foley is actually explaining it like, no, it's not. Oh, I understand. Oh, I see what's happening. Who, his name is John Who. It sounds like who, like I'm at, and he explains the bit and they ruin the whole thing. It's genius. It is one of the funniest. Oh, I see what your problem is. And then at one point he goes, Kevin McDonald says to him, hey, I understand that you own a baseball team. And Dave Foley goes, no, I'm a vaudevillian. Screwing up the whole bit.
Oh, man. That's so good.
Oh, it's so funny, man. All right. Here's Patrick on WGN. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Nick. I'm crushing your head.
I'm crushing your head. Come on. Genius.
I do that to people who cut me off on the highway. I'm like, I'll crush you. Crush.
I crush your head.
That one, and Evil and Hecubus. I think it's Dave
please.
Foley.
Yeah.
And I forgot the other guy's name. That was a funny bit.
Always. That show was genius, man. It was great.
Oh, yeah. I love that show. Love it. Got to find that on DVD. I used to watch The New Adventures of Mighty Mouse. And, yes, that was way out there.
Yeah.
But do you ever remember The Twisted Adventures of Felix the Cat?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was an acid trip. That was a total acid trip.
It's insane. And it was also, Bakshi was also the producer of that, too.
Well, no wonder. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes total sense.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, makes sense. And I was also a big fan of Greg the Bunny. Warren the Ape was something else.
Yeah.
But show I was talking about, you ever remember a show called Reaper?
Loved it. Reaper? Loved it.
Oh, yeah. Loved it. Ray Wise, Taylor Levine, also from Tucker and Dale.
Yep. It's a great show. I love that show. That was on the CW or WB or whatever the hell it was called.
It was the WB before it became the CW. So, because in fact, Reaper, Supernatural started right around the time Reaper was going on. It shows how long Supernatural's been going.
Yeah, Supernatural's been on forever. Forever.
It has. I mean, I forget how many shows have come and gone, but Supernatural's been there forever.
Yeah.
God, Reaper was just amazing.
Ray Wise
was the devil.
Yeah, Ray Wise was phenomenal on everything about that show. Was great. I love that show.
Yeah, well,
Yeah. Okay, Patrick, I got to hit the news.
Okay, take
care. All right, buddy, take care. Ezra, did you ever watch Reaper?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Loved Reaper.
It's fantastic. Fantastic.
I love that whole era, because there was also Pushing Daisies was around that time, I think.
Oh, great show. Another great show.
Yeah.
No, those two shows, Reaper and Pushing Daisies, absolutely belong on this list of underappreciated shows. They were both great. Phenomenal. And Wonder Falls is another one that for me belongs on that list as well. I was obsessed with it. Brian Fuller was responsible for both of those shows. And I'd even throw Hannibal on there, even though it lasted three seasons. That show should still be on. So, basically, anything Brian Fuller does has been underrated. So, all right, we got a break here. The news is coming up next. Two for Tuesday. Yeah. 312-981-7200. Does Nick Gilder have two songs? I mean, I know this one, Hot Child in the City. And that was, who did the cover? Somebody did a cover of this in like the 80s. Roy requested that. Nick Gilder's not going to have another. He had another. But somebody redid Hot Child in the City.
Frankie Clark?
Maybe. All I know is that there was another version of it. Like, there were two versions of Der Kommissar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had the version by the Fantastic Falco.
Yes.
And then the version by After the Fire.
I just heard it because I was listening to a Spotify list of Atomic Blonde.
Yeah, Atomic Blonde is the best soundtrack. It's the best soundtrack ever.
Did it have both songs?
It had the correct version. It had the Falco version.
Okay.
It takes place in Berlin, so they're going to have.
The playlist had both.
They had, maybe they did play both. I don't know. But I mean,
I think this is a user generated.
Yeah.
But they
also had 99 Luftballons is on the soundtrack. That soundtrack.
Was it? I'm assuming it was the German version.
Yes.
That's one of my bucket lists.
Is to do that for karaoke.
To learn that in German.
We're talking about underrated TV shows of all time. And Esmeralda and I are discovering that we have more in common on this subject than in...
Yeah, TV is my...
I mean, like
I watch so much TV growing up and even after that.
I didn't know your love for Kids in the Hall. That's a cool...
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah.
We got some texts here. Hell on Wheels, Banshee, and Justified are all great programs. I never watched Banshee. Oh, that was before, you know why? Because that was before I got Stars.
Mm.
I ordered Stars because of my future ex-wife and your best friend on Ash
oh,
and
really?
Evil Dead. That's why I ordered Stars. I didn't have Stars before Ash and Evil Dead started. Let's see. Close to Home with Jennifer Finnegan. It was a TV show about a lawyer. 262 area code says 847. Oh, this is a good one. Mm. Andy Richter controls the universe.
You know what? I never watched. Wait, which one was that? Because didn't he have the one where he was a detective?
That's the Andy Richter show.
Okay.
The Andy Richter Controls the Universe was the. It was very similar to Get a Life, in terms of like tone and style. Get a mm-hmm. Remember Get a Life with Chris Elliott?
You know,
we lived at home.
I have friends who adore
Rules
that show and everything Chris Elliott has done, but I never watched
it. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
I mean, Get a Life.
No, that's what my friend.
Fantastic.
They love that and Cabin Boy.
Well, you know I'm quoted on the box for Cabin Boy.
Yeah.
It's one of the highlights of my career is that I'm the only quote on the front of Cabin Boy. The only reason I'm on it is because they had to scrape the bottom of the barrel of critics because I'm the only idiot that gave that movie a rave.
Oh,
I remember I reviewed the movie and Roy was like, there's something wrong with you. When I was... Cause I was like, it's genius. Cabin Boy? Come on. Martin Mull's Fernwood Tonight. I would agree with that. Underrated. Great show. So we got a bunch of people on the line. Let's get to as many as we can. Here's Jeff on WGN. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, how about Common Law?
Common Law.
It was on USA.
Yeah, Common Law. I remember that show. Dan, you're a USA guy. Did you watch Common Law?
I did not. That was one I didn't get to.
Okay. All right.
Also, Person of Interest.
Yeah, but isn't that that's not on anymore, Person of Interest? Oh, okay.
No, they ended it last summer, and I didn't get to see the end of it because of the CBS thing with the Tribune and on Dish Network.
Right,
didn't have CBS all last summer.
Right, yeah. Okay. All right, thanks, Jeff. Person of Interest, that was actually a pretty popular show there, wasn't it? Wasn't Jesus in that movie, the guy who played Jesus in the movie where he gets beat up for 2 hours?
Yeah, from Lost.
Was it Future Stuff?
Yeah, well, it had
right.
this. They could pin. It was like a.
It was Quantum Leap.
Oh, that's right. And you keep. Yeah, that's right. I totally forgot that. Dan does not appreciate that it was basically Quantum Leap.
No, my friends all... It's this, you know, the stupid argument that you keep arguing over and over again. When I said I enjoy this show, Persons of Interest, it's like Quantum Leap. My friend's like, but there's no time travel. I'm like, it's everything up but the time travel. And they're like, but Quantum Leap's about time travel. And I'm like, but it's everything but the time travel.
There's
so
more
it's the
to
same
it.
Show.
All right, let's see. Mike is on WGN. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Nick, how you doing?
All right, man.
So is the Atomic Blonde soundtrack better than Baby Driver soundtrack?
Well, here's the thing. The Atomic Blonde soundtrack is all specific 80s.
Oh, okay.
And I happen to really have a soft spot in my heart for 80s songs, even like bad 80s songs I happen to love. But if you're looking at it soundtrack, comparing it soundtrack to soundtrack, Baby Driver's a much better soundtrack. And it's a much better movie. I just happen to have a soft spot in my heart for that stuff.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I got a couple of TV shows for you. Top of my list is Frank's Place with Tim Reed.
The late, great Tim Reed. That was a great show.
Great show. CBS kept jumping the time.
Yep.
Slot for it.
That's what they also did. What we were talking earlier about News Radio. News Radio was the victim of being shifted from different nights and stuff.
Right.
NBC had no confidence in it.
And I got another one, Hooperman, I love.
John Ritter.
Yeah. And Days and Nights of Molly Dodd.
Great show.
Blair Brown.
Yeah.
In fact, anything that Jay Tarsus did was Buffalo Bill and the other one.
Slap Maxwell,
yeah. Right.
Yeah. No, those are both great. Buffalo Bill and Slap Maxwell, both great shows. And, you know, I don't think anybody, Mike, I don't think anybody knows how to handle Dabney Coleman.
Jay Tarsus did a pretty good
job. No, he did. I'm just saying that I don't think people understand the genius of Dabney Coleman.
Right. He's just anybody was. In War Games, was he chewing gum and he was
in War Games, you know, and
chewing gum and he gives it to his secretary.
Yeah, that's right. He takes it out of his mouth and gives it to his secretary. That's right. Totally forgot about that. All right, Mike, thanks, man.
All right, buddy. Take it easy.
See you later. All right. Let's see. What are some of the other ones here? They have Police Squad on this list, which is one of the greatest TV shows. I'm sure you haven't seen it.
No. How long was it?
It was only on for 6 episodes.
Really?
Yeah. 6 episodes. 1982, I want to say.
Wait, isn't that what Naked Guns are based off of?
Yeah. Naked Gun is based on Police Squad. And here's what ABC didn't know how to handle it. Because it didn't at that time in the early 80s, every sitcom, half-hour sitcom, was 3-camera setup, audience, laugh track. They didn't have a laugh track. And you've seen the Zucker Brothers stuff. You got to watch it because there are sight gags in there that are weird. And there's no indication where you're supposed to laugh. There was no laugh track. It was weird. It had these insane gags. People didn't quite get it. You know, they were just coming off of Airplane. So ABC was like, oh, yeah, sure, come on. And then they make this really weird TV show called Police Squad. And they put it up against, in their genius programming, they put it up against Hill Street Blues, which at that time was the biggest show on TV.
Right.
So it lasted 6 episodes. I have all 6 episodes on DVD. And that 6-episode run of Police Squad is funnier than any of the Naked Gun movies. Seriously, it's fun. If you like the Naked Gun movies, 10 times funnier. The TV,
really?
Oh yeah, the series is 10 times funnier. A great show. It only lasted 6 seasons or 6 episodes. I wish 6 seasons. You know what else is on? They put on this list. The guy put on the Ricky Gervais show, the animated one with Carl Pilkington. Do you know this?
Is that really underrated?
I mean, it was only on for two. It was only on for 2 seasons or 3 seasons. It was on for 3 seasons.
Yeah.
But that was Ricky Gervais who canceled it. HBO would let Ricky Gervais do anything. That didn't cost HBO a dime to put that show up.
Right? Wasn't it just?
It was a podcast that they animated.
Yeah.
They animated Stephen Merchant, Ricky Gervais, and the great Carl Pilkington.
Yeah, I've seen some clips.
It's hilarious. Carl Pilkington with his perfectly round head.
Yeah.
I love that show. I thought it was so funny. And I really love the animation. The animation, they make Ricky Gervais look like Fred Flintstone in the animation, and it's hysterical. And I just love everything to do with those guys.
Yeah.
With Merchant and Gervais, and I love Carl Pilkington. You know the story about how Carl Pilkington was discovered, right?
didn't I know he was his producer.
It's right, exactly. He was like the producer of his podcast.
Yeah.
And he would talk to him and go, this guy is unbelievable. And he brought him on and just basically mocked him. Did you ever watch Idiot Abroad?
Yeah.
Oh,
no, totally.
Oh, my God.
That show is so great because it even, like, even my mom, who doesn't really understand what's going on, she's like, that dummy. And
exactly.
I'm like, yeah.
Did you see the episodes that they did, the series that they did where they teamed him up with Warwick Davis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My God.
They go to Italy.
I can't even, I could cry laughing watching it.
Yeah.
I just, Carl Pilkington is hilarious, man. And then you, did you see the Life is Short?
No.
The sitcom that was on HBO about Warwick Davis?
Oh, no. No.
Look it up online.
Okay.
Then specifically this. Look it up online. There is a scene in one episode of, and Dan, I think you know where I'm going with this. There's a scene in one episode of Life is Short, which is, you know, the same kind of thing as Extras and all the stuff that Ricky Gervais did, mm-hmm. that loose, you know, sort of improvised kind of stuff where
yeah.
they kind of play real people, but they don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Warwick Davis is playing Warwick Davis, and he's like, he can't get gigs, and it's pathetic. And he at one point they put him in a garbage can because somebody doesn't want to look at him while they're doing their lines. And they get major stars in it too.
Yeah.
So Liam Neeson is on one episode,
mm-hmm.
and he this is online. I urge you,
okay,
I urge you that as soon as you're done with the show, look this up. Just Google or YouTube Liam Neeson, mm-hmm. Life is Short,
okay,
improv,
okay.
The scene, the setup is...
Oh, wait. No, I've seen that.
Where he comes in and
yeah,
he wants to...
the office?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that was that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no, I've seen...
It's really good. It's one of the funniest things. And I know I speak a lot of hyperbole, but that's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Oh, I didn't know that was that.
That's from Life is Short. Because
okay.
Warwick Davis is sitting in the office with him, and
yeah.
he throws out the suggestion of him being a green grocer.
Yeah.
And it's like he goes, knock, knock, knock. I'm sorry, we're closed. That's like you said something.
Oh, Liam Neeson.
I want to change my career. I want to do some stand-up and some comedy improvisation. If you've not seen it, people, do yourself a favor. It's one of the funniest things ever. Let's break here. Yeah, that's what we got to do. We have to break for weather and traffic, and then we've got more. And I'll fly down this list. We got texts and a couple people on the line. We'll get to them in a second. Yeah. Like I said, he had one hit. that's Roy requesting Nick Gilder, Gotta Get Out. We're talking about TV shows that are underappreciated and underrated. This is Judy on WGN. Hi, Judy.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
All right. What's up?
I was going to say the one I really liked was Pure Genius.
Pure Genius.
Yeah, it was a medical drama. It was on Channel 2.
Hmm.
It was on right after Chicago Med, but it was on Channel 2 instead of 5.
Oh, okay. All
and,
right.
Didn't last long.
Okay.
And then I called to tell you that on Sunday on, do you have Retro?
I think I do.
Okay, on Sunday, like it starts at 11:01, you're going to have Rich Man, Poor Man.
They're going to show all of it?
Yeah, they're going to show it all day. Because after at the end of October, they're taking it off the air. They're taking it out.
Oh, they're taking, okay. All right. I happen to have Rich Man, Poor Man, the whole thing on DVD.
Oh, I love that
movie. Oh, please. It's the best.
I know. And then Sunday on Turner Classic, they're doing a whole day of Robert Mitchum.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, it starts
right.
at like 5:15 in the morning.
Cool. All right, Judy, thank you.
Sure.
Take care. All right, here's Steve from Galesburg. Hi, Steve.
I don't remember whether it was MTV or Comedy Central, but my wife used to call me up to the living room every time Tom Green show was on. And it was always great.
That's fantastic that your wife would call you in to watch Tom Green. I think you're a regular listener, Steve, so you probably know my feelings on Tom Green. I love him. I just think he's great. I love the Tom Green show. I just thought it was fantastic.
And also, I think I've said this before, but Hotel Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was a classic show. Didn't last very long. Based on a great play. Hotel Baltimore is a really great play. So, all right, Steve, thanks.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, Tom Green, man. I can call him right now. I got his number.
And I told V he was impressed.
Yeah. No, that's the most impressive connection I have here on my phone. That and Dana DiLorenzo. I can call my future ex-wife right now. Talk to her. I think those are the only celebrities I have in my phone. Kevin J. O'Connor. I'm trying to remember who else.
I don't know. I only have you.
You may as well throw that out then. That's a waste of data. All right, real quick, let me fly down these lists. Number 20, The Killing. Phenomenal show.
It was on AMC?
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't people hate it?
Yeah, but they were dumb.
I remember watching the first second seasons and just thinking, like, really? We're going a second season on this?
There were three seasons.
Could have wrapped it up on that first
phenomenal.
One.
Phenomenal. American Gothic. The Larry Sanders Show. That's classic. Mm-hmm. Ben Stiller Show, the one on MTV and then the one on Fox. Night Gallery, which got mentioned the other morning. Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
It's the best show.
It's amazing. Louie is on here for some reason.
The first one?
No, I think they're talking about the one now that's on FX.
Really?
Yeah.
I think that'd be pretty popular.
Yeah. Futurama?
That one, yeah, because when it was on Fox and they got canceled.
Now it's been on Comedy Central. I mean, it's on Comedy Central, if it's not South Park, it's Futurama.
That's amazing.
Of their original, without their original program, because they got a lot of original programming now.
I wish I had Comedy
But it's nothing but Future. I swear to you, it's nothing but South Park and Futurama.
I would be so happy.
Spaced with Simon Pegg and Nick Frost.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing show. The Equalizer. That was, what's that dude's name? Edward Woodward.
Was that where he was really smart?
Well, he killed a lot of people. He wore a trench coat. He was older, British, gray hair.
Oh, no. Who am I thinking of? He was a very smart man.
The Mentalist.
No. And he would, like, take on jobs because he was so smart he could do whatever.
I don't know.
And then he would, like, do stuff.
The Smart Guy? Number 10, Get a Life, which we mentioned earlier. Oh. Number 9, The League of Gentlemen, which is a BBC show.
Hmm.
Number 8, Mr. Show with Bob and Dave.
Yeah.
Please. Number 7, Hill Street Blues. Number 6, Mystery Science Theater 3000. By the way, if you haven't seen the latest season on Netflix, fantastic. And if anybody's out there is like a hardcore fan, they're worried, you know, you don't want to mess with the show, they do it complete justice. Number 5, SETV, one of the greatest shows in the history. Number 4, Crime Story. A great show, Dennis Farina. Number 3, Twin Peaks. And they're talking about the original run, not the insane thing that's happening on Showtime now. Number 2, Cold Shack, The Night Stalker. So glad to see that so high on the list. And number 1, The Prisoner, a very weird show that lasted like one season from the late 60s. Listeners, 630 area code, Herman's Head.
Oh, I loved Herman's Head.
219 area code, this has got to be a joke, right? Cop Rock, this person is picking Cop Rock.
I mean, didn't last long, right?
No. Barely one season. Carrie says, Ed has the WKRP problem. Music rights are a mess. In every episode, there were about 20 songs, including two. That's right. That's what happens all the time when we talk about it. Ed had too many music cues in it. Frank's Place was great with Tim Reed. 630 area code Jericho I thought was good. Trucker Rich singing my song right here, Men of a Certain Age, with Ray Romano, Scott Bakula, and Andre Brower. And Dan, I still can't believe you didn't watch any of that. Two seasons worth of Bakula, man. And he's shirtless a lot on it.
Oh, you didn't mention that.
Friday Night Lights in the Unit. Stephen King's Under the Dome, Gary says. And then I have one here that I just remembered. Holly Hunter. USA? Was it USA? She played an alcoholic detective. Has really screwed up life. Saving Grace. Saving Grace. And I can't remember the actor's name, but like an angel came to guide her, guardian angel.
Right.
To guide her through all the...
I vaguely remember that.
Phenomenal. And she was great on that show. She really was, Holly Hunter. So, yeah. So basically, I need to bring in Brain Candy for you to watch again.
Yeah.
You really have to. I mean, if you love Kids in the Hall as much as you do, you got to go back and watch Brain Candy again.
It's been a while.
Oh, it's so good. It's so funny. I would love to quote some of it again to you, but a lot of the funniest stuff I can't say on the radio.
Right.
But it's just ridiculous. And they all play like 9 different parts, except for Kevin McDonald, I believe, because he's the lead in it.
Yeah.
Kevin McDonald's the lead. And so he he plays, I think, two other roles in it, where whereas everybody else plays like 20 different roles.
Yeah.
So but that's a great movie. So anyway. All right. Well, Esmeralda, we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
It'll be Wild Card Wednesday.
Oh,
boy. And is Lindsey Cochran going to join us tomorrow or is he Thursday?
Probably later in the week. David Parr is scheduled to join us tomorrow.
Oh, David Parr, magician David Parr, who is going to appear on Penn & Teller's Fool Me next week.
Oh, boy.
On the show, he's going to bring a trick and do a trick for Penn & Teller. And if he fools them, he wins. That'll be on next week. We'll talk about that tomorrow. All right. Let's take a break here. We got the news coming up next, followed by the opening bell.